Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Save big money in your next painting project now at Menards. From your kitchen and bath to doors and trim and even your ceilings, Dutch Boy has the perfect finish for your painting projects. Dutch Boy's DuraFighter is a tough paint and primer that provides great scrub resistance and durability. Save big on Dutch Boy paints. Plus, view our weekly flyer on Menards.com and get your painting project started today.
Save big money at
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE,
and I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win. Let's Chumba.
Yeah.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Welcome to part two of our conversation with Richard Cutshall. So we were going to get to earlier some of the experience, and you did talk a little bit about some of the experiences briefly that your mother had. Were there any more experiences that were relayed to you from your parents, you know, after the fact that you found out about the house that they went through?
Oh, yeah. So my dad, who I was talking about, his family actually has a long history of a psychic stuff, you know. I think that they have a lot of latent psychic ability.
Yeah.
And especially my aunt is very clairvoyant. Sure. About stuff. And dad, he told on several occasions how he would hear someone. Sometimes the snoring would be so bad for my mom, he would go sleep on the couch. And he would hear someone go past him downstairs, and they would walk past him through the living room, and then they would actually go into the kitchen. And so he would, you know, he'd be waiting for someone to turn on the light, and he'd think, oh, the kids are getting up, they're looking for a drink or something. And pretty soon, nothing would happen. So then he would get up and turn on the light and check, and no one was around, you know. But he said he distinctly remembered, you know, he'd hear that quite frequently. And then he would hear stuff in the house too. When if he was alone in the house and no one was around, he'd hear noises, doors opening. I think the basement door, he heard the scratching happening at the basement door, which was creepy after you learned there was an accident there.
Sure.
And I'm trying to think of anything else that he told me. I know that one thing that was kind of odd is that, so we had a relative on his side that came to live with us for a short time because she was kind of down on her luck and she needed a place to live. And so to help her get back on her feet, they agreed to let her live there for a while. And so she stayed with us probably around 6 months, I think. And so she talked about a lot of experiences. You know, she kept saying, you know, your house is haunted to my parents. And they just were like, oh, no, you know, like they didn't really want to investigate it. I remember in one instance, she actually was alone in the house. She had house set the house where we were gone, just for an evening out.
Yeah.
And we came back, and she was just terrified and saying how she had to call the police because the plumbing, the toilets and stuff started flushing themselves, and she couldn't get things to stop.
Oh,
and God. She just got really freaked out.
Sure.
And she, I remember being a kid, you know, thinking like, what is she, you know, like being, you know, you, of course, adults are talking when you're a kid. But that in those days, you know, you didn't really interfere.
You didn't question. Like, no, you're just like, okay.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. My, how things have changed.
And so, she actually would say like, you know, oh, we should try to communicate with them and stuff like that. And my parents were like, no, 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 no. And I do, you know, I remember her talking about, oh, I should use a Ouija board. I should try to, you know, maybe we should try to make contact with them. And And I don't know. Sometimes I wonder if why we were not there, she was actually doing stuff like that.
Okay.
And it might have ramped it up too. So I don't know. You know, like I was very, you know, I don't know, very conscious, but, you know, of not interfering, you know, just not, I wanted to. You just didn't want to kind of talk to them.
You don't want to stir it. Yeah. You don't want to stir it up anymore. But
yeah, stir it up.
Yeah. Who's to know what went on when you guys were not there? You had mentioned earlier that your aunt, you know, was doing some research and such into this. And you had also mentioned that a murder weapon was found in the house, followed by a ghost. I'd love to hear that.
Oh, that was actually her house.
In her house. Her house. Okay.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
I still want to hear that.
You still want to hear it?
Yes.
Oh, that's a great story. So so like I said, she's had a long history of like she's been visited by spirits, mm-hmm. I guess you could say clairvoyant. Like she's told people, I know on several occasions she's told me stuff, you know, she's the type of person, she tells you something, you just think, okay.
Yeah.
Right. You know, like I'll think about, you know, I'll watch my, what I'm doing, or I'll think about that.
Sure.
And, because it really is. So she has a lot of that. And so she recalled, in her house, this was in Kansas too. So her house, it was in, Cherryville.
Okay.
Which is, you know, about 30 miles away from where I grew up, but another railroad town.
Okay.
And, she talked about, you know, how her family had never had anything happen in the house till about 10 years. They lived there around 10 years and nothing had ever happened. Anything peculiar, nothing. She never felt like anything strange about the house. They loved the house. And then one day, my uncle, who's passed away now, they were working. They were trying to put in like a glass, sliding glass door or something and taking out like this bay window. And so, and the house was pretty old. They had pictures of it with horse and buggies outside of it. And they had the hitching post out front and mm-hmm. So pretty old. So anyway, she's they're doing this work on the house and he sees this area that he sees is like a brick that just looks strange. It just looks odd. He can't explain it why it looks so, but it's in the wall. So he picks it up.
Yeah.
And underneath it, they find this old revolver. And they're thinking, that's weird. Like the place had been carved out for this revolver to be set in.
Yeah.
And he thought, and it was all bricked up. And he thought, that's weird. Why would someone do that? And so he tells his wife, he says, yeah. Yeah, look at this, you know.
And there's one reason why someone like, would do that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So they're like, okay. So they take a... And what's odd is my aunt still has this thing in her house. They still have it today. So, and it was rusty, you know, very rusty, and it still had a bullet in the chamber, I think. Mm-hmm. But it was very rusty, and the handle was all gone. So, but I think it was a 35 caliber, 32, which is not that common of a caliber anymore.
Sure.
And they just think, well, that's very weird, you know. So they're thinking, what is this? So then, right as soon as they find that, they actually, weird things start happening in the house. And one of the first things my aunt said happened was that she was in the house doing dishes or something, and they had a back utility room. And she heard a strange sound kind of coming from it, and she thought, what is that? And she walked back there, and there was this hacksaw, and it was on a pegboard, and it was just going back and forth, just swinging, you know?
Wow.
And she looked at it and she thought, what has happened? You know, and she said she wasn't too frightened at the time, but she thought it was really strange. And so she stopped it. I think she said she stopped it and it started up again later. And she thought, and she told her husband about it when he came home from work. She said, I don't know what's going on, but that thing. And he looked at it and he said, I don't know. Maybe it was like a, you know, they were very both. He was extremely, he was very logical, very smart. And he said, maybe it's just an earthquake. I don't know. Maybe something weird happened. I don't know. So,
sure.
But very odd, you know, that just something. So then she said that, I don't know if the dream, the stuff started happening or the dream came first. She had a dream. And the dream In a dream, she had met her mother, who was actually, her mother was, at that time, had been dead quite a while. And in the dream, but her mother came to her and knocked on the front door of the house. And she said, oh, you know, mom, you know, mama, where, you know, I haven't seen you for so long. It's so good to see you. You know, why are you here? And she said, I've come to warn you about something. I've come to talk to you. And she said, what do you mean? And she said, you know, she said, there's going to be trouble coming. And she's like, what do you mean? She goes, I just, you know, there's going to be trouble coming. And you have to know that it will be okay. It'll pass over. And she's just like, well, you know, hey, come on in. I want you to meet the kids and everything. You've never met them and everything. And she said, I have to go. And she just left. And so that was almost like a premonition of what was to come. And so some of the things that happened, she said that she was, she said, okay, so one of the first things that happened, she used to collect stamps. And back in those days, you know, she used to put them in a bathtub to try to, sometimes she'd get them off a sheet and try to transfer them to something.
Sure.
And so she got late at night, she couldn't sleep. And she said that she decided, oh, I'll work on my stamp collection thing. And so she got in there and she started trying to get the stamps off the sheet. And she said that she was in her nightgown and she felt like someone, she was in the bathroom all by herself. She felt like someone brush up beside her, like they were passing her. And she thought, you know, and she looked around and she didn't see anything. She thought, oh, it's the cat, you know, and she looked around, the cat wasn't around. And she thought, oh no, you know, so she just got kind of spooked. And she said, then she felt like someone kind of breathed by her face, like breathed by her ear.
Mm-hmm.
And so she got, you know, she ran and got her husband and said, I think someone's in the house, you know. So he had searched, couldn't find anybody. So then the kids started having nightmares when they would sleep upstairs. They would have these really vivid nightmares. And I can't tell you exactly what the nightmares were about, but they started not wanting to sleep upstairs. My aunt and uncle said there was a room, a door upstairs that the door would refuse to sort of stay open. They would close it, lock it, and it would come open. And when they, you know, they'd hear it open right there when they were downstairs.
Yeah.
And it refused to stay open. And then another thing she told me is that she started seeing these apparitions around the house. And it was very peculiar. She would see almost like this kind of grim reaper-ish looking apparition. Like she would see it sometimes on the wall, sometimes just standing there. And what was also peculiar about that was that it was usually a death happened afterwards in the family. Like we lost three family members that year. And before every one of them, she saw this apparition somewhere in the house. And there was no face or anything. It was just like this kind of cloaked sort of dark figure. And then she said another thing that happened is she would... She said one time she was sleeping in the living room and she felt somebody kind of touch her. And this was in the middle of the day. She was taking a nap. She felt somebody kind of touch her to sort of wake her up. And what was wrong about that is that, you know, my uncle used to, and aunt and uncle used to do some collating stuff at home for this company he was working for. And they had a machine, and that machine had been left on, and it had a wax element on it. So if it actually been left on, it probably would have caused a fire eventually. So someone woke her up to kind of warn her, mm-hmm. almost. So that was weird, you know. But then another, you know, really frightening thing happened when my uncle said that he was, he's passed now, but he said that he was, he had this really, just really frightening dream. And he said that, so they had a bedroom that was, there was a kind of this little bit of a, was, I guess the staircase went straight up, but then there was a landing at the top of it. We could go down a couple hallways, and on one of this short landing right next to it, there was a, their room was on that landing. And so he said that he felt in the dream, he looked over, he was awake in a dream. He was waking and he was laying in his bed. And he said he looked over to the stairs and he felt like somebody, he could feel somebody walking up the stairs, but he didn't see him yet. but he was just gravitated. He just kept staring at the stairs because he knew someone was coming up. And so he kept walking up the stairway. So pretty soon this figure comes up the stairway and he can sort of see it. It's kind of this robe figure. And its face, he said, you know, it was very, I don't know what this, you know, the description all I remember is the face. Mm-hmm. But he said the eyes, they had no nose, just a mouth and eyes. And it stared at him. And it's almost like as it was walking up the stairway, because he could see it out the door, it just kept eye contact with him and never broke its eye contact. So it just came up all the way up the top of the stairs, came over to the landing, and then it slowly walks in the room where he's laying. And this is in the dream, and it just sort of stares down into his face, just over, hovers over his face and just stares at him. And he said that he, and my Uncle Tommy, sorry, I should use his name, but he was a very logical, very smart man. And he said, I felt like I was in the presence of evil. He said, I've never felt anything like that. And he said, that was his, you know, and then, another thing that happened to my aunt. Sorry, Tony, you still there?
You're fine. Yeah, keep going.
Okay. I thought we lost contact.
Nope,
okay,
you're sorry. Good.
So then, another thing that happened to my aunt, but she was, and I think, you know, my aunt was kind of the primary focus because my aunt is, again, very, you know, has a lot of psychic ability. So I think it knew it could speak to her, you know? So communicate with her. So she said another point that she was laying in the house and very late at night waiting for one of her daughters to return from a date. She was worried about her. Mm-hmm. And she said that she couldn't sleep. So she was laying in the front room. And she said that she felt like this, like someone just sort of bent over and they just sort of, she felt right on her cheek like this. Well, first she said she felt, thought she heard the end table move beside her. And she looked up and she felt like, okay, she didn't, you know, it was still there.
Yeah.
Seemed like nothing was out of place. So then she kind of slumbered, you know, went back and tried to go back to sleep. And she felt someone just blow this kind of this jet cold air on top of her, just right at her cheek. Mm-hmm. Just, she said, just like this really centered, like just jet cold air, like on her cheek, almost to wake her up, you know? Sure. And, so she said that was pretty freaky. And then, but the last thing happened, she said what was really odd about it. Well, okay, so then they started doing research on the house, and they found out that from this old timer who lived in the area, he said, oh, yeah, you know, he said there was this murder at the turn of the century in the town, and he said, you know, the primary suspect actually lived in your house. And it was a prominent doctor that had been murdered. And then this guy, the suspect actually packed up and took off, you know. And this was the days when you could actually probably disappear. People couldn't find you so easy.
Yeah.
And so he was gone, you know. And then they never found the murder weapon. And the murder weapon matched, according to this guy, what they found. So they thought, well, maybe this is just a legend or something. But then they actually found the article. They went and researched the library. Like I said, my aunt is really big into genealogy, so
sure.
She's a good researcher. And she found an article in the paper, local paper, about from a bigger city about 30 miles away that talked about the murder and the suspect, and it was the caliber revolver they found. So that sort of triggered it, you know?
Yeah.
And which is very odd, you know. I think, well, why would that, you know, like what is that?
Yeah.
It's almost like something was attached to that weapon, you know?
And triggered all of those things.
So the last thing that happened was, which is funny, you know, my aunt, she said that she was mopping the floor. And she said she had the mop sitting there, you know, by the mop bucket. And the mop bucket was standing there. And she said she went over to do something else. And she said the bucket just turned over, you know? And she was like, she got, so, you know, and she said it just, you know, and she had to clean and she got really angry. And she said, you know, I don't know who you are, what you are, but this is our house. So we live here. You don't live here. You're not supposed to be here. You need to leave, you know, and don't come back, you know.
Yeah.
I'm tired of it, you know, and you need to, and she never had any more problem with it. It was gone.
How interesting. And it all seemed to be triggered by finding that weapon.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. But they still have, which is, you know, odd that they still have.
I think I'd be getting rid of that just in case. Like, okay. Although after you go through all of that, it might be like, I survived it. Here's what I got for my trophy.
Here's my trophy.
Yeah. My goodness. Going back to your house, and just kind of one more question. Yeah. What sits on the land today on the plot where the house once stood?
Oh, it's gone. It's been torn down. Yeah, so sure. There's nothing there. It's
nothing just got nothing got rebuilt. It's just an empty plot.
Yeah, which is odd. I always think, well, what happened to the ghost? What are they doing now?
Sure.
You know, like, what were they? Was it the structure they were sort of embedded in? It's, you know, attached to. Was it the land? You know, was it, what happens to them? But it's odd, you know. I guess they're just sitting there in the vacant lot. But it's like
it makes you wonder. I mean,
it's just a weird. Yeah.
If it went through more than one house to because obviously the other one burned and then the next one came up, you know, who's to say if somebody doesn't build on there at some point that, you know, it may be part three to the story of the haunted house on that land.
Yeah, yeah. And there was another, you know, can I tell you one more kind of freaky?
Sure.
Another story. Okay, I have two more things just that were kind of significant. So we're talking about, apparitions and stuff. And so the only really, besides seeing myself that time, the other apparition I saw was my cousin, who's funny. I mean, he was a real skeptic. He's passed now, but he was a super skeptic. But he could never quite explain this incident. We were, hanging out. We were really great friends. We were growing up and we went to a movie together, and my parents, again, they'd gone out of town and took my brother with my younger brother with them. So I would be alone in the house, you know, when we came back, and I was sort of a little worried about that, but we got home and I looked and they were gone, and I thought, well, okay, maybe they're still there. Cause I saw a light on inside. And so this was so we had this kind of big picture window in the front, and then there were two windows upstairs, kind of like the Amityville Horror House, I was saying.
Yep.
So there's this big picture window, and, you know, and they had a living room and then a parlor and then a living room, a family room. And so I looked through the picture window and I thought, oh, it looks like the TV's on, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I thought, that's weird. So I didn't have a key to get in. So I thought, oh, that's strange. So I thought, well, somebody's watching TV. And the only weird thing, the TV was just complete static, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, that's strange. Like, who's watching the TV, which is static? And I could see someone sitting in the chair watching the TV, you know? And I thought, and they were kind of like this darkish, kind of dark gray figure, no real features, just sitting there. And I thought, who is that?
Yeah. You know?
So I went over and I knocked on the front door. And my cousin and I were both standing there, and we went back over the window to look, and the figure just kind of got up and didn't really look at the door or anything. It just got up, walked by the TV, shut it off, and walked into the kitchen. And it was just dark, kind of gray figure. Mm-hmm. And, you know, nothing, you know, no, you know, and the hair on your back, just everything starts raising up because you're thinking, like, what I'm seeing is not, you know, there's something odd going on here.
Yeah.
And then no one answered the door. And then, you know, and I told my cousin, I said, I'm just going to your house. You know, I'm not going to go in there. and I told my parents about it. And they said, well, you know, there's nobody in that, you know, we were gone. There's nobody there. They came and got me.
Yeah.
And they said, there's no one, you know, there's nobody around, you know? And, but that was the, you know, so I always thought that was just strange. Like I thought, what are they doing? Like, what were they doing? And, the other really a weird, really strange incident. And like I said, I'm not like a super religious, pious person or anything. I mean, I do kind of have a broad spiritual belief about stuff, but, you know, so I had a nightlight when I was a kid. And I remember one instance I was sleeping downstairs and on the couch. Cause I didn't want to be upstairs. Mm-hmm. And, I was probably around eight or nine, somewhere around that area. And there was a nightlight, which I said I was kind of afraid of the dark. So my mother would put this nightlight on for me. And I remember I was staring at the nightlight and I kind of started seeing this figure start to emerge, you know, and I thought, what is that, you know? And it was kind of this cloudy sort of figure, and it started to get more descriptive, take on more of a shape and form, and it started to kind of like resemble, and it looked like, and this is where it's really strange, I mean, it looked like a small like figure of like a Jesus, and he had a white kind of robish, and he had this blue kind of swath on like a over it, mm-hmm. and he was sort of just floating, and it was a small figure, and he was sort of like beckoning, like sort of like this thing at me, you know. And I, of course, was terrified. Sure. Like, it wasn't, you know, you'd think, you'd tell people, I think I saw Jesus.
Yeah.
Like, oh, well, was it peaceful? You know?
Yeah, no. Not so much. Yeah.
It was very scary. Yeah. Which is funny because, you know, I've heard, you know, people describe supernatural events like that. And, you know, people think, oh, they have that. But you think, well, if these things exist, they're very powerful, very, you know, like you should be somewhat afraid, you know? And so I don't know what that was, but it just sort of stayed there. And again, I had to just put my head under the covers because I was so terrified of it. You know, I didn't feel this feeling of peace,
yeah,
or any kind of like, you know, like, hey, this is comforting, which made me think later. I thought, well, maybe that was even a ruse, you know, maybe they were trying to get me to, you know, to react to it. But it was a very strange, you know, that was another very odd thing that I can never really explain.
That wraps up our conversation with Richard. A big thank you to him for joining us on the program today and sharing his experiences. And thank you to you for supporting the program and keeping us on the air. We would not exist without it. Until next time, for all of us at The Grave Talks, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.
Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk, breathe, re-chalk. Still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
What's up, Boos? Main Event Jey Uso here from the WWE. When it's just me between matches, it's day one-ish. And that means it's Chumba time. With hundreds of casino-style games and new titles arriving weekly, there's always something fresh to try at Chumba Casino. The daily boosts make it even more fun. And have me about to get them all during my downtime. Ready for a fun way to chill out and enjoy a few minutes for yourself? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T&Cs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. On the track, my car's look is everything. But today, I'm talking about more than just paint schemes. I'm talking about my favorite games at Chumba Casino. Check out exclusives like Stampede Fury and my own King Croc Fury. It's just as wild as my car looked in Texas. With over 200 games and new ones weekly, play for free at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.